5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Jimmy boy, it's all bull not in the studio again.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Right, but look at the size of the head on it. It's absolutely enormous.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
How good do we feel? We're in the middle of footy mania. Slightly off Broadway, won this one fat. We're doing it for the download podcast family, of which there are millions, by the way. The most downloaded show, I think, in Australia comfortably. For good reason, because it's very entertaining. Damien Barrett is going to join us. And I'll tell you what we need to put to him. What the hell's going on with he and Essendon legend Tim Watson, old Whispers? Because they're not getting on at all.
Not at all.
All right, also chat to him about round 13, which has just been released. So we're looking forward to that. And hello to you, fat boy.
G'day, Jimmy boy. I am remote today. I am down in G-Town.
Finally.
Loving it down here, Jim. I just drive into the pub and put on this, whatever it's called here. What is this black box called? That's what it is, Jim.
A remote broadcasting box, yes.
That's what it is, remote broadcasting box. And now we're away. Great to see you, and good to see you, Rabsy, on the screen.
In the Navy was a hit song for the Billy.
For the Sherbet Band.
Village People.
Sherbet Band.
In honestly, the Navy.
That's where I call it the tropical disease in the Navy. Speaking of that, Rabs, we have got an idiot file coming up.
Yes, we do.
Just segued us beautifully into it. What's going on, please? World news.
I'll give you some world news. We love this, Jimmy. We'll talk some footy, but we'll talk with Damo. Yes, the game's tonight, of course, 5:40, Collingwood and Sydney at the Gabba. Yes. Interesting game, Jim.
It is. And then after that, we've got the Gold Coast Suns and St Kilda, which I think you'll find will be an impeccably called game on the Seven Network, so you can enjoy that too.
And on Triple M.
And on Triple M, of course.
I wasn't talking about how well it'll be called on there. That will be of great interest. These fine young men from Halebury.
And just quickly touch on the game last night. Geelong too good for the Kangas, Jim?
Well, I did say that to you yesterday, Fat. I thought if North got underneath 40 points, which they probably shouldn't have if Geelong kicked straight, then that's about reflective of where the two clubs are at. And the second one, I'll talk to Damo about this when we get chatting to him, but I have a soft spot for Melbourne because obviously my nephew plays for them and I probably watch them closer than I do at most other. They are infuriating, Melbourne, because they're so close to being so good but they just completely cock the same stuff up every week.
So bad.
Oh, no, if you're a fan of theirs, you seriously must look like you. Their fans must all be bald.
Well, that's right. Poor old Goody is. Hey, now, Jim. We love this, and when they play their first game, the kids of today, they ring their parents. And we've got a first game of tonight playing with Collingwood. His name is Trey Rusko, and he's playing his first game, so he rings his mum. Have a listen to this.
How you going?
Good, mate, but how about a phone call every now and then?
I gave you one the other day.
What? You did not? I just wanted to know how you went over there.
Yeah, no, it's going pretty well. I just got something to tell you.
What, love? What have you done? What do you want? Something like that.
I'm playing my first game tomorrow.
What?
I'm playing my first game tomorrow, debut.
Oh, off. Are you joking?
Yeah, no, I am.
Oh, my God, Trey, that is unbelievable.
Yeah, I know, it's good.
Are you stirring me up?
No, I'm not. I'm serious. Boys,
oh, no. Oh, hello. Shit. Oh, thanks for the heads up. Oh, Trey, that is so good. I can't believe it.
Yeah, no, it's
the
good.
The whole team fall over or something, did they?
That is Fiona, Trey's mum. And she went on say, Jim, there's a bit more. I'm so proud of you, Dale. I can't believe it's so quick. But she says, go out there and don't be a big wuss.
No, she's fantastic. And Bill, you have four beautiful children, and I have four beautiful children. And what she said to him, I have said, I reckon, on 4,000 occasions. Hey, Dad, it's Henry. What do you want?
What do you
want? That's the first, because it's always in it. Every time they ring, they want something. What do you
how
want?
Much?
Yeah, oh, my rego's come up, or need a new set of tyres, or, you know, I got a parking fine. Honestly, Bill. So that beautiful lady is only reflecting what all of us as parents go through every time.
Oh, good. I hope he gets a couple of goals.
He's East Fremantle boy, JB.
Shark. Ooh. I tell you, there's a few from over there. The two boys are playing for Melbourne, Luke Jackson and Trent Rivers. They're both from East Fremantle as well. Very good club, East Fremantle in the Waffle. Now, Bill, before I get to this next bit of audio, and you're an example of this with Oski, the parents do it enormously tough in AFL footy, especially in hubs, because they're bloody miles away from their young boys, and they ride the bumps and the injuries and all the rest of it. And so to all the parents, you know, when that phone call comes through to say you're debuting, what a great moment that must be. Now,
well, exactly. But you know what, Jim? As you know, you don't actually watch the team. You watch your son. You watch your kid. Actually watch them the whole time.
No, it is exactly what happens. Hey, hot breakfast this morning. Limo, of course, very well known to the Triple M family. doing SAFM breakfast over in Adelaide, and will dominate in that slot. But this is what he had to say to our boys, Rabbits Bartholomew.
On this very show, on the 30th of January, I shared this with you. Well, you know when you turn 100, right? Well, you get a letter from the Queen.
Yeah.
And we all know about that. Well, when you turn 16, of course, you get a text from Prince Andrew.
Oh. Exactly. Oh. Yes.
Oh. Last Saturday, I decided finally to tweet that particular joke. So I put it out on Twitter. Yep. Imagine my surprise when I was listening to the Rush Hour.
Oh, no.
Tuesday night.
Oh,
not
no.
Brownless, was
and
it?
I heard this from Billy Brownless.
Oh, no.
In Britain, Jim, this is my joke. In Britain, when you turn 100, you get a letter from the Queen.
Yeah, you do.
And when you turn 19, Jim, you get a text from Prince Andrew.
Can you believe it?
Oh,
he
could
have read the numbers properly. 16. 16. The gig is they're underage. The gag is they're underage.
He's trying to clear it and clean it up.
He's totally taken the sting out of the tail.
Bill. Yeah. I applaud you for cleaning it up, by the
way. Exactly.
Because 16, it's inappropriate to be receiving a text from an old man.
I don't do inappropriate
stuff. So I like the fact that you cleaned it up, but I don't like the fact that you openly stole it.
Now, Jim, where do you reckon Limo got it from? Do you reckon he sat at home one day and made it up?
Well, that's what comedians do.
No, they don't.
You do this all the time. It's like the Lack of Band story that you stole from Tony Shaw.
Again,
and instead of acknowledging that you stole it, all you say is, well, he would have got it from someone.
Well, Tony Shaw ran into a tree when he was doing a marathon one day, Jim. He's not the smartest bloke going around. He's not going to send any rockets to the moon. So, sure, he would have pinched it off someone. Limo would have pinched it off someone. And I have borrowed it and I've cleaned it up.
You borrowed it, did you?
I borrowed it.
Had a little loan of it.
Well, he can have it back now.
I got a joke.
On behalf
Toby.
Of the Rush Hour, I send our sincerest apologies to Limo, Anthony, for the theft of his material from our man Bill Brownless. And Rabbits, you and I had no knowledge of the fact that that joke had been told prior. Otherwise, we would have said it at the time. Plus, shame on you, Fat.
That's the funniest thing he said.
Oh, what a pity.
Hey, what else? Did you hear Mark Ricciuto last night on the boundary, Jim?
He got it slightly wrong.
Well, this caught my ears.
Mark Ricciuto downstairs.
Yeah, young Will Hamill's just come out. He's sitting on the bench, boys, and he gave me a wink and said, I'm feeling pretty good. So,
Will Hamill gave him a what?
Now, Bill.
A wink.
I think that's just the way the big Ricciuto speaks. I don't think he was WA. I think he was WI, but it just didn't quite come out right. We got it, Raps?
Mark Ricciuto downstairs.
Yeah, young Will Hamill's just come out. He's sitting on the bench, boys, and he gave me a wink and said, I'm feeling pretty good. So,
that's wink. Surely.
They're trying to
get
closer.
That's wink to me.
That's wink to me. Jim, they're trying to get closer at Adelaide. They need to get closer. So
Bill.
This is just the start of it.
That's how he speaks. He's a Wakery boy up on the
that's
Riverland.
That's how they speak, Jim, over there.
That's wink to me.
That's wink to you. Okay, where we got Damo up next. Oh, yes, please.
All right, come on. Let's get
Speaking
to the
of
bottom
winks.
Of Damo and Whispers Watson because, by jingoes, by crikey. It's been on like Donkey Kong.
On the Triple M app and on your radio, this is the Rush Hour, JB and Billy.
This is Damo's recovery session. When you need a tool, call Co Tyre on 13 15 52.
A bit to get through with Damo too, of course. Going to find out how badly injured Ben Brown is. We're going to talk about whether Adelaide are going to go through a whole season without winning a game. We're going to, well, Bill, we're probably just going to have to touch on Wispy. Jesus Christ, this is all a bit orcs. It's a bit sort of orcs. Anyway, orcs. Before we do any of that, Damo, nice chatting to you always.
G'day, Jim and Bill. I thought in true Triple M style, we might just let that one slide through, but you
no,
don't know that one, do you?
No, we won't be letting that slide through, but that's coming up later. The games last night, two predictable results.
Yeah, they were, weren't they? I quite like what the Cats did. I think if they had have hit the scoreboard a bit harder in a goal sense, it would have been a bigger margin. They've just got a really tough block of games, haven't they, against some good teams. And they were really close against West Coast the previous week. They did what they had to do against North Melbourne. To me, they're really well positioned if they can just get that ruck set up right. And strangely enough, I feel Josh Jenkins looms as a potential key around that. Now, whether it's just for the 5 or 8 minutes of these 16-minute quarters, you know, per quarter that he plays a role in, but I do like the prospects of him actually having an impact in what lies ahead for the Cavs, because I think they're as well placed as any team. They've got the experience, Bill, haven't they, to deal with the uncertainty around this in a way that other clubs don't and can't deal with.
Yeah, you're spot on. Well, Stanley played his first game back last night. You got Jenkins.
I thought he was pretty good, Stanley.
Yeah. He was. And I reckon Darcy Fort was going okay too. They were very happy with him, and he's out with a foot fracture. So they got a few there. What was interesting last night, I don't know why Dangerfield played, Damo. They rested him for 90% of the game. I'm not sure. Yeah. Him and Joel both looked either sore or just tired.
Yeah, look. Obviously, the way they played Dangerfield, Bill, mainly up forward until that sort of requirement to get him in the middle late in the piece, just to stem the flow a little bit. It was almost as an insurance possibility, wasn't even playing if they needed him, if things had gone haywire. And look, they might have gone haywire a little bit if North was able to capitalise what it was doing early. They couldn't. I mean, Ben Brown started the game having missed last week, and as we know, injured his knee early in the game, didn't return. As we speak this afternoon, it's more encouraging, though, for Ben Brown than it may have been thought to have been last night after the game. It's hopeful now, yet to be signed off on officially, but hopeful that it's not that serious and that he, at worst, might only miss a few games.
Where's he at, Ben Brown? Because he was going to sign a 4-year deal, I believe, Damo, at North Melbourne. Now, is he going to be at North Melbourne?
I can't see him being there, Bill. The fact that they pushed back even before the COVID-19 shutdown on the offer from North. The offer from North was 3 years, effectively the same monetary attachments to the deal, but he wanted a 4-year deal. And as we know, that's his right, that's the club's right. But the whole unknown at that stage was what was going to happen in this year, and that is COVID-19. His currency's plummeted. You hate to say it, for a guy who's the only player in the competition who had managed to kick 60-plus goals in the previous three seasons, now out of contract. And just the noises around it, Jim and Bill, Adam Ramanauskas is not one to ever, really, that I can recall, say too much publicly. He's his manager. And he was quite open today, I think it was ABC Radio, just saying, well, no, we can't sign now. There's nothing in front of us. And it's obviously now a very much an unknown situation. And I felt now for a couple of weeks, Bill, that he would not be at North next year, just the way it's unfolded. And look, then becomes, what is he worth? He's not a free agent, so the club that wants him will have to cough up a draft pick. And I'm thinking, Jim, you tell me, I'm thinking it's at best for North about a pick, you know, early in the early 20s, maybe even late 20s. North will want more than that, but I think that's about the right currency for him right now.
Well, they'll definitely want more than that. They'll want sort of bottom half of the first round, I reckon, for a key forward of that quality. Whether they get it or not, I don't know. Yep. There's a couple of things haven't worked for him, Purple. Firstly, you know, the issues we had with this season has meant that all contracts, as I understand it, pretty much across the board have gone off the table. So when Adam Ramanauskas says we've got nothing in front of us, no managers have got anything in front of them until we work out certainly what the cap looks like going forward and also list sizes. So that hasn't worked for him. But secondly, the shortened quarters mean that defensive running is happening more in footy now than it ever has. So all the big forwards are battling. I mean, yeah, Big Chaz, Dixon's going pretty well, and Kennedy, but their sides are going really well. But so many players are now flooding back because of the shortened quarters and the ability to run harder. So I think there's a couple of things that have worked against him, but going down early in the game last night didn't help. North had their backs to the wall anyway and suddenly didn't have a target forward of the centre circles. But the other game interests me, Purple. Melbourne did what they had to do against Adelaide, but they might be as infuriating a team to watch as there is in the comp because they succeed despite themselves, Melbourne, to me. They've got so many good things about what they do, but then by foot they slaughter the ball better than any team nearly playing, and they cost themselves, you know, scoring opportunities on the back of it.
Yeah, they did. I think the mental weight of that game last night, they wouldn't have been allowed back to Melbourne, even when they are allowed back to Melbourne, if they'd lost that. So it would have been an absolute line on their season. And I sort of feel for them in that regard, which I think was why it took them so long to then get on that roll in that last quarter. They just set up and played in a way that had them, you know, in front comfortably at three-quarter time. And then I think the release valve was there then, and they took it away. But I certainly hear what you're saying, Jim. I mean, they've got talent, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago now, where they could actually get on a roll that results in a similar outcome to what happened in 2018. But I'm with you. I think they're their own worst enemy, the way they do butcher it, and the way they just cannot bed down a proper structure, despite having players they've brought into that team since 2018, mainly in the back line, in Lever and May.
The bit that infuriates me, Fat, is when you watch them, you can hit pause so many times and you just look at the ball carrier and you go, right, there are three screaming options that should be taken here, and they don't take any of them. They just pump it long, wobbly down the line, and I just look at it. It so often happens with Melbourne, and because they're, you know, to use that hackneyed modern phrase, they're this see ball, get ball midfield, so they just all go charging in and they grab onto it, and then the composure just evaporates and they just hack it forward. The good sides just find them so easy to play against, I reckon.
Be hard to play up forward, you know, those young boys that got up forward, imagine that. But also, Damo, I believe you've got some breaking news for us here on the Rush Hour.
It's probably not so much breaking now, Bill. It's fresh news. How about fresh news? Round 13, I think you're referring to, Bill, is it? Or
Yes.
There's going to be a second game in Darwin. We've known now for some time that the Dreamtime game, the Essendon and Richmond game, would be played on the Saturday of that round. That's Saturday, August 22. There's a secondary game at the same stadium, TIO Stadium, to be played on the Friday to open that round. It's going to be Gold Coast and Carlton. It's all part of the Sir Doug Nichols round that will acknowledge and honour all the Indigenous participation throughout the history of the game. So I like the fact there's a second game up there, Bill. And what they've also done with that scheduling, Bill, as we know, rounds 9, 10, 11 and 12, comprised of 33 matches to be played in 20 days. That is to conclude on Monday, August 17. There's going to be a three-day break, so you can get your sleep in there, Bill. Yeah. Take a breath. The Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday of that week will be football-free before that round 13 fixture kicks off on the Friday, August 21. And I think they'll probably just drip-feed round by round after that. I think they'll produce round 14 and probably about this time next week, and then just do 15 and 16 and then maybe reset before a round 17 and 18 block.
All right, let's get back to that game last night because we know on a death ride any footy club on this segment because we're positive. Okay. But Adelaide, are they in danger, Purple, of replicating Fitzroy's lamentable 1964 season where they went all the way through without winning a game?
Yeah, look, I think they are. I mean, they've now gone 10 games into a 17-game season without a win. Strangely enough, that the closest they got to a first win was that very first game, Matthew Nix's first game, way, way back before the COVID-19 shutdown back in round one when they lost to the Sydney Swans at home by only 3 points. And it was quite a competitive game, if you recall. But since then, they've had a narrow loss to Essendon, but every other game has been pretty ordinary for them. And they've still got some bigger clubs still to come. Like, I'm just going through the 10 they've played.
Collingwood next week.
Collingwood's not there. Yeah, Collingwood is yet to come. They've played West Coast, Brisbane,
Bulldogs,
Geelong and Port Adelaide, you know, who are going to be premiership considerations. But, yeah, the Bulldogs is another team that they're yet to play. So it's a worry, isn't it? And what, as sort of what we touched on the Saturday rub last week, wasn't it? I think it was BT who raised it. The morale of the teams that are struggling. Now, they're not in a hub existence, Adelaide, but the morale of a team that has got no hope from a finals perspective with still a 7-match run at it. It's a long 7 matches, and you do feel for Matty Nix right now, don't you? You really do.
Well, I'm just having a look at that. 1964 Fitzroy played 18 games, 0-18. In 1963, the year before, Damo, they won one game out of 18. Then in 65, they won four. And then in 1966, they won one game out of 18.
Bill, so you don't have to tread all over our beautiful Fitzroy fans who are just remembering gloriously.
They won about three games in 4 years.
Gary Pert running around for them and Paul Ruse and Lynchy. And you don't need to remind them of the poor years.
Jim, you ask him. You ask him now.
I don't reckon we can. I think we got to just... Okay, before we get to that, we've seen it. Warren Treadray come out very hard, Purple, about the schoolies for grown-ups. The AFL harbour major worry. And, you know, when he speaks, people listen, Warren Treadray, and he said these people up at the hubs have got to start sucking it up and realise how lucky they are.
Yeah, I'm look, it's easy to say that from the outside looking in, and that's the view I take too. But you speak to the people who are living at Jim, and particularly the teams who are struggling, and individually and team-wise. And I can understand the pull that has descended over some of those people up there. But, yeah, to Warren's point, the privilege that it is to actually be able to still do your craft in a state that isn't stuffed as the one we're living in right now is Victoria. So I get all that. And I think the cumulative effect of the players' requests for situations and people and diets and even room restructures that has happened has got to the point where they've just had enough. And I also get now too that they're forcing the players to streamline their requests through one person at their club, which probably is how it should have been in the first place. And maybe some of these direct phone calls that Gill himself has got from some big name players to change things in the hubs may not have happened.
I have a view, Purple, that leadership has never, ever been more important in footy clubs than it is this season. And it's my understanding that a few of the clubs that have handled hubbing really well, and I put the Fremantle Dockers in that bracket, a lot of that's come from the senior players. David Mundy, Nate Fife, when they were up in the hub, apparently were absolutely superb and just grabbed the young blokes and said, listen, you blokes, to Warren Treadray's point, you're lucky to be here, you're lucky to have a job. This is an amazing experience. You look back at the end of your careers and say, remember 2020 when we had a month and a half up on the Sunshine Coast or wherever they were. So I think you can either be well-led, and that can be the message, and everyone falls in behind it and hubs well, or if you're not as well-led and your leaders are, you know, leading the cry for woe is me, then the rest of the club can follow down that path and your issues arise.
Yeah, and it's sort of to the point that I was making before, Jim, in a straight footy sense too, when it comes to Geelong and the older players being able to deal with the unknown about this season and still what lies ahead, that's why I'm sort of placing greater weight on those older, experienced players. I wasn't sure how it was going to play out once we had this shortened season, both in matches played and time per quarter. Once those, I was thinking, for what it's worth, that it might have been beneficial to the younger players with the fresher legs and even the fresher minds, but I reckon it's still becoming a marathon, isn't it? In fact, it's arguably as big a marathon as it ever has been because of the mental weight that's applied. So, yeah, to your point, to Warren's point, to the point that Nat Fyfe and David Mundy, as you were saying, were delivering, it's going to become key.
Yep, it is. Just looking at Fitzroy, from 1962 to 1969, that's 8 years, Jim, they won 16 games.
Oh, Bill.
16 games in 8 years. Chicken
was back in the 30s. Why would you drag fantastic Fitzroy supporters back through that, Fat?
Jim,
it's still 16. My all-time second favourite team, Bill.
Oh, mate, 16 the games Royce. In 8 years.
North didn't have many more wins than that in a similar period of time, too, I reckon.
They weren't great.
The 50s and 60s weren't great.
Now, Purple.
Yeah, come on, Purple. What's been going on, mate?
I wasn't aware, and you know I don't miss too many media stouches. My nostrils flare when I hear one-on-one in our industry because when they happen, Bill, we just we just listen up and see what's going on.
We sit back and listen, and then we record, and then we listen again, and we listen again.
But and you stoke it up again?
Tim Watson, otherwise known to everyone as Whispers, has given you a nice clean back and sides, called you the voice of treason, Purple.
What does that mean? What does that mean, Bill?
Explain what we're talking about here, please. Where did all this happen? Where did it start?
It is very much tit for tat, isn't it? And schoolboy and schoolyard sort of type of responses. He had a crack at me, Jim, I think it was Monday. I then had a crack at him on Tuesday, and he had another crack at me on Wednesday. And I'm thinking, what do I do here? Another crack back or just draw the line?
No more. That's it.
No, I'm saying that. Yeah, look, it's become a byproduct of this this debate that people from outside the media were having about the independence of media outlets. And I think you both know my views. There is no independence in media, no matter which organisation you're referring to, the one we're talking on right now, Triple M, or even the ABC. So I've never had the view that there is an independent outlet. It all stems back to Mitch Cleary being reviewed by the AFL. And as I said in that podcast where I did have those critical words of Tim, the AFL was right to review his position, as Mitch Cleary, as a journalist, was initially right to actually consider doing what he did with that post. But ultimately, Mitch shouldn't have done that. It wasn't World War III. He was quickly reinstated after it was dealt with properly. And the AFL was right to, I suppose, enforce the edict that he'd had in its staff and our staff of not to mention the partners of the players in the hubs.
Yeah, I get that, Purple. But for me, and I'm able to say this because I have no alignment with the joint at all, to stand him down was very heavy-handed. All they needed to do was grab old Masai, who we all know, and pull him aside and say, yeah, mate, we would have preferred this to be the way you handled it. And, you know, and then you march on. But I think this is nothing to do with old Whispers and what he's saying, but I think the hue and cry came because it did seem to be a heavy-handed reaction to what had happened.
Yeah, look, and I hear you, Jim. And when I was made aware of it after I got off air on Friday of the Friday Huddle last week, I needed to get to the bottom of just to get my own head around it. And look, again, there's always nuances. There's complexity to it, which, I'm never going to broadcast when it comes to the private conversations. But there was a situation at play that was very different to it being a simple media independence issue. So I just, again, without boring our listeners with that aspect of it, but yeah, back to your point with the Wispy situation, it probably got a little bit out of hand from both of us, I reckon.
All right, so is there going to be a phone call between yourself and Whispers? Is there going to be a rapprochement?
What was that? I don't know that one, Jim.
a coming together?
No. Ooh. No, I don't think so. Nah. We've known each other a long time, but we've never been tight, which is probably the reason this week has unfolded the way it has been. But I don't think sometimes you don't need to patch him up, Jim, if given there was nothing to begin with. So
did support Mitch, didn't you, Damo? Because knowing you and you do like Mitch, you've taken him on. He's like a son to you. Actually, when you look at Mitch, he looks like you.
Poor bugger. of course, I support him, Bill. I mean, as I said, when I came off here on Friday night, the first call I got was from him. And obviously, between Friday and Monday, we're talking almost on an hourly basis to see what had happened, what he did, and what he then had to do. And what he did do was concede. He did something that in an ideal world he wouldn't have done. And look, it's not the biggest deal of all time. But to answer your question,
the journos love this one. The footy fans don't really care, do they? But
the journos
out there, don't they love it?
They couldn't care. They could not care. And
AFL media is not high on a lot of the journalists' Christmas card list, Purple, because they see them as competitors and run by City Hall. So that's where that all comes from, surely.
I think you've hit the nail on the head as to why this one took off, Jim. But again, just to be defensive of my own organisation, there is one of the ones I do work for, Jim. It's no less independent than any other media outlet out there. If I could just have that little political statement right at the end.
I'm putting this on the table. I've tried with no support to have Bill sacked for 10 years.
Yeah.
And exactly. When I finally succeed, I won't be coming out publicly and supporting him or saying anything, but it's about time. Yeah. saying that in front of you.
I know, but you shouldn't say that because one day someone in the chair is going to go, you know what? He's right.
And you know what they'll do then, Jim? They'll go back to this very conversation today on August, what is it today? August, you help me out, Thursday, August 6th.
Yep.
James Brayshaw at, 3:18 p.m. Said this about you, Bill. So it was a long time coming.
No doubt. And at that time, I'll say that's exactly what I said. a bit similar to stealing the chocolates during the Saturday rub fat. If you declare you're doing it, it's not stealing. Yeah.
Now, Fitzroy,
Laurie Serafini, who would have been playing then? Give us some players from the mid-60s.
Kevin Murray. Kevin Murray's winning his Brownlows, wasn't he?
He used to wear the seatbelt. He pulled the seatbelt out because he had a freshly ironed shirt. Chunky Mick Conlon.
Oh, Mickey Conlon. Sorry, I thought you were still talking about Laurie Serafini.
No, Mick Conlon used to drive along. Yeah, with the seatbelt, so it wouldn't crease the shirt.
That's
well,
more,
his chest was bulging out into the seatbelt, wasn't it, Bill?
But that's more your 80s. That's more your 80s setup, I would have thought. Right. But I want you to tell me who was playing in the 60s for the Roys. Give me some players playing back then.
Where do I find them? Hang on.
Well, you've got the book in front of you.
But they're not in the book anymore. There's three men.
No, they are, Bill. They're up part. If you go to the book, if you've got the book, they're beyond West Coast. The Bulldogs.
So come on, Fat. We got time. We're podcasting.
Do we?
So we got time. All right. I'm going to give you some.
Kevin Murray was winning those best and fairest back in that period of time, Bill. He won the best and fairest in 60, 61, 62, 63, 64.
Gary Lazarus. Gary Lazarus was running around.
Billy
Johnny
Steven.
Murphy, 1968.
Jeff Doubleday. Ron Fry.
John Murphy, the father of.
John Newnham.
Gary Lazarus was winning the goal kicking.
Harvey Merrigan.
Daryl Peoples.
Gary Johnny Wilson, Booth. The flea. Robert Walls was a coach. Matty Rendell. Of course.
Not then, he wasn't.
Ross Thornton.
David Wall. John Murphy.
That's later.
All right.
Johnny Murphy.
Barry Padley. Doug Searle.
Doug
Searle. Harvey Merrigan. Harvey Merrigan was there. Paul Shanahan. Come on, Fat. I don't want you putting any more shit on Fitzroy from this era. I think they were doing it hard enough.
They had a very ordinary era.
Johnny Duckworth.
Geez, they got some names, haven't they?
Thank you, Bill. Gary Wilson, of course, came a little bit later.
A little bit later, Jim. Yeah.
David McMahon, enormously skinny.
A little bit later.
No, well, I'm starting to now wander into an era where people, Graham Allen, actually,
Laurie's
you know
brother.
What was going go. On. Ronnie, Ale- big rough yep. Ronnie Alexander.
Yeah. Ronnie's brother,
Scotty Clayton.
Yes, Scott Clayton. Mickey Conlon, the one you've already mentioned. Grant Laurie. The super boot, Bernard Quinlan, Leon Harris,
Bob
Timmy
Pickencroft.
Stop putting shit on them. These are legends of the comp.
I know. I love them too, Jim. I love them. Oh. Anyway, Damo, you better go.
Well, Damo, before we let you go, anything else by way of news we need to prize out of you?
I think the match tonight, Collingwood-Sydney, has got a bit of news in it and around it, if indeed the Pies don't get back on the winners' list. As we know, they're 4.5 wins from the 9 matches they've played to this season, leaving them exactly split, Bill. So, yeah, need to get back on track, don't they? And it won't be as easy as I think as some people do think, that this game against the Swans is a danger one.
And then the second one got some interest too, St Kilda and the Gold Coast Suns. The Gold Coast Suns, an interesting watch. The other, just getting back to Melbourne, the other thing we can't forget, Purple, is they play North next week, I think, or next game. They win that, they're 5-5.
And I know.
In this season, that's still a very live chance.
Yeah, and they've got Collingwood the week after that in round 12 at the Gabba. And just on the back of this round 13 being released today, they've got the Western Bulldogs there. And so they need to win that game against North, don't they? Because Collingwood into the Western Bulldogs in rounds 12 and 13, we'll know by then, won't we, where that club is at. But if they can fluke one of the Collingwood or Western Bulldogs game, they'll be okay placed, I would think. Because they've got that game up their sleeve. They've got that game up their sleeve,
exactly,
as you know.
Exactly.
So they've got that bonus, that Essendon game that was postponed from round 3 for Connor McKenna reasons. That's in their keeping at this stage.
Yep, if they can tidy just a couple of things up, you never know with the Melbourne Footy Club. Purple, great catching up with you. Thanks for that.
Cheers, boys.
Good on you, Purple.
Damo's recovery session. When you need a tool, call Co Tire on 13 15 52. These are Billy's tips.
Turning it into hot, cold, hard, cold, hard cash.
Thanks to PointsBet's AFL early payout. Lead at halftime and you win. Gamble responsibly.
Let's have a look at the Gold Coast Suns taking on St Kilda. St Kilda, the favourites here at $1.52. If you like the Suns, you get $2.55. And I like this. Only at PointsBet, you get AFL Elite Odds Player Combo. $2.50 for Ben and Max King to both kick a goal. That's all. They only have to kick one goal. You get $2.50. And Rabsy, that is elite to me.
Well, they're both starting the goal square, Bill, so good chance of that happening.
And they both kick goals. Plus, what about this? PointsBet have 20 straight nights of footy, 20 straight nights of early payouts, lead at halftime, and you win. That goes through to round 12, my friends. Plus, at PointsBet, we've got same game multi, multi, elite odds, and around 500 different betting markets on every AFL game this round. So if you haven't already, Rabsy, get on the phone now. Download the PointsBet app.
Oh, I did yesterday.
Remember,
oh, it's so good.
I know. I saw a couple of bonus bets go in. And please remember to gamble responsibly.
Billy's tips. Thanks to PointsBet's AFL early payout. Lead at halftime and you win. Gamble responsibly.
On the Triple M app, which you're listening to us right now, it's the Triple M Rush Hour podcast with Anthony Brownless.
Thanks, Cock.
Actually, Anthony William Brownless, I should say, and James Brayshaw.
Oh, now, I'll tell you what we need to do, and that's get this dusted off. We can do one pretty much every week, but that would mean Maddie's overworked, and he already has enough to do. So we say to Maddie Haywood, our genius in the booth, just every second week, bring the half hour of idiot file down to something we can use. How long is it today, Bartholomew?
4 minutes, 44.
Don't add any stuff.
4:44.
Brought down out of a good half hour of Bill just getting it wrong when he speaks. Enjoy.
You know what today is?
Yes, go on.
Thursday, July 23.
Mm-hmm.
You know what was going to happen today?
What?
Olympic Games today before they got postponed.
Oh, my God.
I know they tried to call Bill and Bill said, nah, I've got things on.
Well, I was already climbed Mount Maradora Armour. Maverick's just come back.
What's he got for us?
You did mention Maverick during the interview.
Maverick's
saying,
happy with what he brings to the table, but he's nowhere near as good looking as his brother.
That's right. Well, Maverick's come back. He's got a blue tick too, by the way, Jim. He must be important. He said the better looking Weller brother. They've got the hub at Disney World, okay?
Right, yes.
So Lou Williams, who plays for the Clippers, very good player, Louis. So he got a special...
Don't say a word.
Disconception? No! He was granted special permission.
I don't think Jill said a word then either.
He granted special permission, Jim, to leave to attend a funeral,
was it
okay?
Dispensation that's you were what trying, I was trying to say.
Yeah, that's the word, you dick. Why didn't you say that?
We want you to say it.
Well, we could throw another $100 voucher somewhere, I reckon.
All right. Who else did you like, Fat?
Oh, well, we've got to send him over to WO. We're going all right?
To where?
WA. 14 votes Lachie Neal, 9 votes Max Gawn, 9 votes Ting English, and 9 votes Travis Boak.
English.
Tin man. What has been good at Carlton, mate, is the second tierers. We're not talking about Cripple. We're talking about Settlefield and
Settlefield.
Well, that's how he likes to be
Settlefield.
Called.
Settlefield.
Yeah. Matt Kennedy, Plowman, Pitten now. Brad missed 4 quid.
He did. He was coming from a long way back.
Bo can have a choice.
All right, nice. Now, something humorous, Fat?
Not bad.
In the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Thanks to our good friends at Grilled.
Oh.
That is all from Anthony William today, Thursday, the 30th of July.
He's even going to the date.
From there,
he's just got one of those brains you can't understand.
But what has he become, a professor or nuclear scientist?
I could not tell you.
Nuclear.
Yeah.
What do you reckon he was going to become?
But what about the young fella that missed all of last year and then we saw him kick a couple of goals? Georgiadis.
Don't say anything. Duck?
Yeah, what?
How good's he?
Very good, Bill. I don't know where you're going.
Georgiadis.
All right, who else have we got playing, Bill?
We got Loki from Fern Tree Gully. Hey, Loki.
Hey, Fat. How are we?
Good.
It's Loki, I presume.
No.
Is it?
Yeah, correct.
Well, Lockie would be L-O-C-K-Y.
Huh.
No,
you're telling Lockie how his name is spelled.
That's my name. Yep. Yeah, let's go.
Yep. Name the two brothers who were dropped from the team this round.
What?
Jesus.
Arsenal have won the FA Cup, Jim. Did you see that?
No, I did not see
that. Have you seen anything?
No, Bill. I'm in lockdown.
Pierre Aubameyang, he kicked the two goals, Jim. He kicked the two goals.
Aubameyang.
That's him.
Pierre-Patrick Aubameyang.
Aubameyang. That's what I said first, if you replay it.
Aubameyang, did you say it?
Dick arm.
Aubameyang. How'd you say it?
Aubameyang.
Bumyang.
Yeah, Aubameyang. 12 NBL players from Melbourne United have tested positive.
12?
12. How many's on the list?
Don't know.
About that.
Well, is our man, point guard, little knackers.
Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. What's his name?
Mitch.
Oh!
There is a Mitch who plays for
you. Yeah, McLaren. No.
What's his name,
Fat? Oh, I don't know. I can't read Melbourne. Come back to it.
What, it's, Ponytail?
Ponytail.
Not anymore.
Barracks for North Melbourne.
What's his name?
Comes in all the time. Well, we love him.
How can you not know him? Even I know him.
It just slips my mind. A few things slip my mind lately, Jim. I think I'm...
Chris
Mew.
Oh! I've given him his first name. He still doesn't know him. Come on,
Chris
Fat.
Chris Mew.
Where are you at?
Oh, we're just going at the minute, Jim, and now we're on Zoom in remote areas.
Remote areas. You're in your pub. how much worse are you going to be now?
Well, I'm going to get a pot delivered up to me, so I need one. I've done the whole show today, points bet odds and Damo, and then I started it, and I've done the idiot file. Now I've got to finish it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What do you do?
Who, rabbits or Jill?
Actually, very good point. I'm looking, it's like the Brady Bunch here. I've got Rabbits who does nothing. He's overinflated. Jill's still got a 90 on. And you,
the voice of reason rather than treason.
Yes. That was a Sherlock Holmes book.
No, no. Now let's get, you got a joke, by the way?
I've got two.
On your home smart speaker.
Hey, Google.
And on your radio and on the Triple M app. This is the Rush Hour, JB and Billy.
Oh, what a beautiful! I see this as a community service, Fat. We've just sent stuff out that people can download, and they'll chortle away in their chariot, or with their earpieces in, or sitting at home while they're doing some work. They'll just be chuckling away, going, "Geez, those two are funny." They don't know what Rabs is actually doing there, but the other two, they'll say, you know, they just got something about them. Those two, it's good, isn't it? Anyway,
Hamish and Andy style, Jim.
I reckon that's probably a bridge too far. But anyway, Fat, what have you got by way of humour for us to finish this particular episode?
I've got two jokes today because it's a Thursday, Jim.
Righto.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Jim, you won't believe this, but I tried phone sex once.
Yes.
The holes were too small.
Oh, no.
I think I got it the wrong way around.
Oh, no. That can't be your joke. All right, another one.
I said to my gym instructor, Jim.
Yes.
Can you teach me how to do the splits?
Yep.
He said, how flexible are you? I said, well, I can't make Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Oh, no. Come on, Fat. People are downloading this.
Just get anyway,
as long as you didn't get on a plane.
Oh, I went to Thailand, Jim.
No, you didn't.
You wouldn't believe it.
You never went.
Big trip overseas.
Never went over to Thailand.
Yes, I did.